Blog Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, May 20th, 2022, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Wednesday to you people. You know, I got a question for you. I'll usually start with something like that. Are you off to a powerful and prosperous start today? Well, I certainly do hope so. Because what I'm asking is that your mindset, madam? Is that your mindset, sir? You know, what kind of thinking are you coming out of the gates with about your own power and potential, your gifts, your goals, your direction today? That's a lot of questions, but yeah, ask yourself. You don't really have to answer me, but ask yourself, because you know what? We have the ability to fantasize about a lot of things, but is your dream something you are working on becoming a reality? Do you see yourself planning and mapping out stuff? Do you see yourself getting your ducks in a row? I think you're saying she's asking a lot of questions. You know I usually do. Do you see yourself doing the work that it takes to get what you want? You know why I'm asking? Because I don't care how much you look up to the sky or how much you look up into heaven hoping and wishing. These things will not fall out of the sky. Yeah, I said it, and I'm going to repeat it. These things will not fall out of the sky. You will need to have a made-up mindset, the motivation to keep you moving. You will have to be working smart for the money, honey. And then that's when you can stand back and take a look at what was accomplished. Yeah, look at what happens when you have a made-up mind about your goals and your money. Powerful and prosperous things can happen. I know that sounds exciting. I made myself feel excited saying that. Well, my guest today is really knowledgeable in all those areas. She's helping a lot of people take a look at money and prosperity. And not just as something to obtain, but to sustain you for life. She is smart and savvy about money success. She's a dynamic business person and advocate for all things that bring prosperity and financial security. My guest today is financial expert and advisor Terry Alford. And we're talking money is the principal thing. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you. I am excited and delighted to be here with you, Silver.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I am excited to have you because I think it's a principal thing to be talking about. I do. There are a lot of money shows, but I think I always feel like when I'm talking with my guests, we're going to break it way down for people to have some great takeaways, maybe kind of differently than they expected. I know in a lot of money shows that I see, sometimes they're talking about if you already got a whole bunch of it and then you can do a whole bunch of things. But that's true. But I everybody's not starting out of that gate. So we may have a thing or two that we'll talk about in regard to that as well as I go through some of the things I'd like you to share with us today. You heard my little play on words about money is the principal thing because you were once a school principal giving out a lot of advice to your students. And so I thought I would do a play on words on that, but it certainly works across all of the thoughts and ideas that you're going to share today, I'd say. What do you think?
I totally agree. I love the title. Like, that is so befitting for what I do and who I am at the core. So absolutely, it's a fantastic title for today.
Yes. I wanted to share this before we get going because it came to me and I jotted the notes about it just quickly a few minutes before we were getting started because, you know, the whole idea of wisdom is the principal thing too kind of crossed my mind. But a scripture in Ecclesiastes 7:12 says money and wisdom are a defense. And I'm going to put that out as an umbrella for people today, that money and wisdom are a defense. And what does that mean exactly? You know, we say a lot of stuff from scripture, but we don't always examine it and get the download that we need from it. And I thought of a few things as I wrote that down quickly. And since we're talking finances, these are all F words, so I think they may be very easy for people to understand. What does it mean when money and wisdom are a defense? Well, money and wisdom can protect you from financial foolishness, from financial fumbles, from financial faultiness, from financial fretting, and financial failure. I'm going to say it one more time because people, as I said, I want this to kind of be an umbrella for you. Money and wisdom are a protection against financial foolishness, financial fumbles, financial fretting, financial faultiness, and financial failure. Indeed, that's what money and wisdom can do, and we're going to be talking about that for the next few minutes. So back to you, Terry. You are active in a lot of things, and I love the things you're doing. You have a particular mission statement that I grabbed, and I want to share that, and then I want to ask you a couple of questions about how you got where you are. But your current mission states that it's to educate, empower, and equip teens and single women to live happily ever now. I love that, happily ever now, while maximizing their season of singleness with a purpose-driven life. I really do like that, and that's another thing that we're going to talk up in the umbrella as we go through. And I know it says teens and single people, but we know that these money principles apply to everybody. So we'll make sure we keep emphasizing that throughout our conversation. But here's where I'd like to start with you. Tell us about yourself and your backstory and history and all of this. I'd like for you to, you know, kind of start where you started leaning into the financial aspect in your life.
Okay, well, thank you very much. So I actually decided to study finance in college. It was very interesting to me because I took a couple of courses and I began to learn things that I had never known. And growing up, money was somewhat of a taboo topic, and so it just was really interesting to me. I actually moved to Dallas in 2014 and began teaching because I've really always wanted to be a teacher, but growing up, people would say, oh, my gosh, you're so smart. Like, I was that straight-A student. Like, I wanted as many 100s on my report card as possible. And so for whatever reason, I just did not get a lot of encouragement to be a teacher. But now I am a teacher. I am an educator. And at that time in 2014, I was teaching in the classroom. I taught eighth grade science. I became an instructional coach. I became a principal. And now I'm the principal of my own firm, my own financial services business, as well as my women empowerment business. And so I actually got the vision for Principals from the Principals in 2017. And I just feel as a single woman, we have to be very intentional and very strategic with every choice that we make in regards to our finances. Not saying that the married people don't as well, but we really do, because in many cases it is just us. And so With Principles from the Principal, I wanted to equip and empower single women who are in their singleness. You can live happily ever now. You may have been married or you may want to get married, but until your season changes or if you're in this season for the rest of your life, you are to maximize this season. And so you should maximize this season by living out your purpose, achieving the things that you would like to achieve, and being able to create freedom for yourself and knowing that you can be financially independent, you can be financially confident, you can be financially stable, you can be financially secure, you can be financially free. But not just financially, but you can also be professionally those things, and you can be spiritually those things as well. That's what this season is for. It's for you to truly be able to become the best version of yourself.
Mhm. Okay. That sounds great. Why do you think this mission became particularly important to you? I heard you say that it piqued my interest in college that I took these courses. I also heard you say that money was taboo as you were growing up, as it was in many of our households. It was either a lack of this or a lack of that, and, oh, you know, the many money woes that hit most households of a lot of, not everybody, but a whole lot of African-American homes as we were growing up. How did that play into your decision-making? How did it complement how you teach and train people about what they should know?
Well, with my mom and dad, they gave me a little bit of information and education here and there in regards to finances. But the things that I discovered in college in terms of, like, investments and wealth building principles and practices, I remember looking around after Christmas at my classmates and listening to what they received for Christmas, and I'm thinking about what I received for Christmas, and I love every Christmas gift, birthday gift that I've ever received. However, when they're talking about getting, like, shares and a company and equity and all of these things that I had never heard of, it really sparked my interest, and it let me know that there was an entire world out there in regards to finance and money that I knew nothing about. And so when I speak to my clients in regards to finances, I actually take them on a journey. I do a consultation because I really want to know where they are financially, but also where they are in their financial awareness. Some people are really interested in learning how to grow their money, but they are not fully equipped in knowing how money works and how they should have the money working for them. And you can grow your money and you can make more money, but if you're spending all the money that you're making, you're still not building wealth. And so when I learned of different products and services and benefits in the financial services industry, I also learned that I was ahead in some areas, and I was ahead because I'm starting to plan out what I want my retirement to look like in my 20s. Like, I want to retire mm-hmm. at this age. I want to have this amount of money. These are the action steps that I need to take in order for this to be possible, whereas there are other people who think about retirement in terms of something that they should focus on later in the future. And it's like, if you wait too late, then that time is going to creep up on you and you may not have enough money to retire, or you may have to have multiple sources of income in order for you to truly be able to have that freedom that you want. So I really, really have been able to grow, and the more I grow even in my singleness and in my youth, I still consider myself a young adult, even though I'm not in my 20s anymore. But even as I continue to learn and grow and study, there are still things that I wish I had known early on. Like, man, I wish I had known this 5 years ago. I wish I had known this 10 years ago. And I meet with people who say that same thing. And so, again, mm-hmm. I am still an educator, and I want to continue to educate people so that they will say, oh, my goodness, I'm glad that I spoke with you today. Even if they say, hey, I wish I had known this 5, 10, 20 years ago, you know it today. And so together,
right.
we can help you get closer towards your goals.
Terry, what when people say that, you know, I wish I had known this, I wish I had known that, I've said it, and I'm sure that drives a lot of people right to your website and to call you because of that very thing. It's eye-opening for so many people now to understand that there are things that you can make happen with money to have more money. You know, if there's been a lifestyle of just, you know, living from paycheck to paycheck, or, you know, what you see is you believe that's what you've got and all that it's going to ever be, then, you know, that forms a particular type of mindset about it. But it's becoming more and more pronounced now that, you know, you can learn about all of these different aspects. So what my question is, what are people saying that they wish they had learned 5, 10 years ago or yesterday?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Well, one thing that people wish they had learned was just the principle of saving money and saving money in products that will give you an opportunity to grow your money, and you can have stock-like
mm-hmm.
Market gains without being directly in the stock, and being able to save in products like those early on in life, becoming your own bank instead of borrowing money from the banks with high interest rates. You can become your own bank, giving yourself enough time to accumulate cash and being able to invest that money and reinvest that money into other things and other projects that will allow for you to be able to build a much better and diverse retirement plan.
What about some of the current things going on in people's lives right now? I don't know. You can share that there's a quick way. Let me roll that back, because there really are. When people come to you with their story of wishing they had known something 5 or 10 years ago, I don't know if you're talking about a certain age group that's, you know, closing in on retirement, or if people who are, you know, just having an awakening in their life about money. What group are you talking about? Because I know that there is a particular emphasis on retirement, because we're all hoping to get older. I mean, I'm already there, but I'm speaking to people that are in your age group and going forward. And, you know, they may not even quite understand the importance or the concept of planning for something that's 30 years away. I mean, how are you approaching the way you expressed it, the happily ever now and the happily after I get old enough to retire?
Okay, excellent question. I met with a young lady today who has a great job in corporate America, and she has a huge retirement goal. And the thing about it is, with her being a 27-year-old, she's not having a lot of conversations, like at work and maybe even in her family, about retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But today, when
mm-hmm.
we started speaking about retirement, like I got an opportunity to see her light up and get excited, but then also say, I don't want to work until I'm 67. I don't want to work until I'm 65. Like, I plan to retire early. And so I asked, how much do you want? How much do you need at retirement in order for you to live that life that you just explain to me that you want, or you just illustrate it for me. And she said, well, I think due to inflation, I may need somewhere between $5 and $6 million. And I was like, okay, excellent. And so you want to retire when? And she gave me the age that she wants to be when she retired. And so I was able to show her, okay, this is where you want to be. This is where you are. Here's the gap. This is what we need to do to fulfill that goal. And so that's what I do. I ask a lot of questions, and I help people be able to have a clearer picture at where they are financially and where they want to be, whether that is talking about how they can maximize the money that they have now or how they can plan to be able to truly be financially free one day. Another question that you asked me, I do want to go back to, is what are some things that makes people say, I wish I had known this 5 years ago, or I wish I had known this 10 years ago? Whether I'm meeting with a millennial, a Generation Xer, or a baby boomer, I still hear the same thing when I speak in regards of a rider called Accelerated Living Benefits. The Accelerated Living Benefit rider is a rider that comes on a life insurance policy if the client is able to be approved for it and if that company offers it. Now, some companies offer it for a fee. Some companies offer it for free, but it really just depends on the company. And the way that this rider works is a really beautiful thing. If the client, if the insured person becomes critically, chronically, or terminally ill, that person or that policy owner is able to accelerate the funds from that policy and be able to use it while they are living. Now, as a single woman, when I first heard of this product, I said, yes, give me that and another one. Because as a single woman, what I do know is if I get sick, I need to have more than just an emergency fund. I don't want to tap into my retirement plans to be able to take care of my needs. And if I am a single woman with children, which I don't have children, but I do have friends that do, then I want to make sure that my children are taken care of if I am not able to work. If my job says, you have been off of work too long, you have ran out of FMLA, it's time that we let you go. Now your entire financial situation has changed. And so when I meet with people and they say, oh, I wish I had known this 5, 10 years ago, sometimes they're saying that about themselves. Maybe they have had a heart attack. Maybe they have had a stroke. Maybe they were diagnosed with cancer and they're doing well. Because the thing is, we are doing better recovering from critical and chronic illnesses. But another thing that I address is just like with my mom is a single mom. She's been single most of my life. She's been divorced. She got a divorce in 97. And so she, as a single woman, has to make sure that she has her finances in order. But when she was diagnosed in 2020 with breast cancer, I'm glad she's a breast cancer survivor now, but when she was diagnosed in 2020, she too was told, you ran out of FMLA. And so when people say, oh, I wish I had known about this, sometimes it's because of what they have experienced or it's what a loved one close to them have experienced. And I also share with my clients, it's important that you have these things in place for your children as well, because if your children become ill with a critical, chronic, or terminal illness, you are going to want to make sure your children have the best care in the land. And that may mean you need to take off of work. You may quit because you want to make sure that you have everything possible to save your child. And you don't want to have to think about money. So if your child has a plan that has the Accelerated Living Benefits rider on it, You don't have to tap into your 401k, or you don't have to tap into your 403b and IRAs and sell your properties because you're trying to liquidate all of your assets because you had a medical emergency. And so, again, I hope I answered your questions there, but I have multiple generations that I help that actually say the same thing. I wish I had known. If I had known this 5 years ago, I wish I had met you 10 years ago. I wish we had this conversation 20 years ago. Of course, the 20 and the 30 years ago, I hear those from the baby boomers. I hear those from people who may have their money in risky places, and they may have lost money in the stock market, and they are fearful that they won't have enough to live off of until they expire at the age of 80 or 85.
I think what you just shared with us is really important, Terry, and I think it's important because we just don't think about that until we're face to face with it most of the time. And I think to put it out there as we talked about earlier, as a protection, as a defense, it just makes sense to have as many of those tools put in place for you, you know, with that big if, because we just don't know what, you know, exactly will unfold in life and circumstances. And if it's available and affordable, it certainly makes sense to put that particular asset in place for us. And I'm glad you shared that, and I'm glad you did it so thoroughly. As well. Before we move on to the next thing I want to ask you, can you tell us about people who come to you for the particular goal of money growth, just money growth in particular? What kind of direction do you take with them?
Excellent question. So you can grow your money in two ways. You can grow it tax advantage, or you can grow it tax deferred. And in those consultations, I give people an opportunity to let me know what their risk tolerance is. And so if they're looking for conservative ways to grow their money, I can offer suggestions there. If they're looking for moderate ways, I can offer suggestions. If they're looking for aggressive ways in which I may be able to point them in the direction of someone else, or I may be able to help just depending on what their risk tolerance is and what they're looking for. I'm really just, again, asking questions, getting a better idea about where my client is and where my client would like to be. There are multiple ways to grow your money, but before we even speak about growing the money, we have to speak about protecting it, secure it, and your money habits. Like, how are you spending money? Because if you are growing the money, but then you're wasting the money and you just continue to make more and you continue to waste more, then you're still not reaching your goals. So it's all about goal setting and, again, knowing exactly what the clients are looking for and looking to do.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. My last question in that regard, and then again, this is a maybe broad, I don't know, break it down for us. When people come to you and say, I'd like to start growing my money, what type of a minimal investment are you looking for?
Well, it depends on the product. I have some products where the minimum investment is $10,000, and I have other products in which I would offer someone who may not have $10,000 but who may have the right mindset, they have the right level of hunger, and they're saying, hey, this is what I have. I want to grow it. I am more disciplined now than ever. What can I do with it? And I would have a different set of products and a different suggestion for that person. Some products are better for people who have hundreds and thousands that they're looking to grow and protect. So it really just depends on the client. I'm not looking to only serve one population of people. I do have like my ideal client, of course. My ideal client is going to be someone who's looking to receive products and services for the things just about everything that I offer and can assist with to help them reach their goals. But I also have other people who may not be able to receive everything that I have to offer. But again, they want to grow to get to that point. And so I want to help them where they are and help them grow to get to that point.
That's why I did ask the question, Terry, because everybody may not feel like, you know, I only got so much money. Why, you know, what can I do with this or what can she do with this? Or maybe even feel hesitant because they just think it's too little money to be talking to you about. So I wanted to make sure the door was open for people to call you and contact you with whatever they're looking for as far as getting their money to make more money as time goes on. So I think you answered that really well. I want to know, what kind of things are you seeing out here? I know as an advisor and, you know, an expert at what you do and the things you've explained have been, you know, you've done it so clearly, but I know that you recognize that a lot of people have been affected financially in other ways and may not have the same types of financial comfort levels that you can help with. Can we just shift for a moment and talk to people who are, and I'm saying this in a broad way, the people are in a struggle. You know, many things have happened over the last couple of years, and there's a lot to deal with as far as how that may have impacted the finances in a lot of households, married and single. Can you offer any encouragement? Can you offer any insight? Because having a financial issue hit you is often a great big challenge, and it impacts so many things. And I'm just provide maybe some encouragement and some first steps for people who are really been sideswiped by this whole pandemic issue and job loss and financial crisis and all of that. Can you offer anything that might sound helpful to them at this point?
Yes, I have stated indirectly, but I'm going to state it more directly now. In order for you to be financially free, you must know where you are and where you want to be. That is what I say with TNA Financial Group. It's okay to not be where you want to be, but you have to address it. You have to look at the overall picture about where you are. If you continue to avoid it and just ignore it, the issue is not going to improve. You have to address it. You have to look at this thing head on and say, this is where I am. You have to lay it all out on the line. I'm glad you asked that question, because sometimes when people are meeting with a financial expert or a financial coach or someone that can give them advice in regards to their finances, they become intimidated. They get nervous. They get scared. They're like, "Oh, I don't want to tell her that I really don't have what I should have, or I don't want her to know that we're actually struggling. Like, on the outside looking in, we have all of these beautiful assets, but on the inside, like, we're barely making it." If you are in need of encouragement, I want to say this to you: when you find the right financial consultant to work with you, you should see that person as your financial doctor. When you go to the doctor, you have to fill out the form and you need to tell the truth about your aches, your pains, your fears, things that have changed over the past year. You need to be transparent with that doctor so that doctor can give you the solutions that you need so that you can be well again or so that your health can improve. Well, just like you are being transparent and open and you have to have a level of confidence and not be ashamed when you're meeting with your doctor, you need to be that way with your financial consultant. You need to be that way with your financial coach. And that's why sometimes your financial coach or your financial consultant may or may not be a family member. Some people, they have family members that they can talk to, but they're like, well, I don't want my family to know all of these things. Well, if your family member is going to look at you as someone that they want to help get well again, then that's what they're going to do. You don't have to go in and be ashamed. But if they're not going to do that, then you want to find somebody else. And then, again, you want to find an expert. You want to find a financial doctor who can help you and not just go to your neighbor or your best friend who's in the same situation as you, because they can't teach you what they don't know, okay? So be encouraged mm-hmm. to know you're not the only one, and there are people out there like myself as well as a number of other financial coaches and consultants who really have a heart for helping people, and we want to help you get to where you need to be. And if for whatever reason you need help in an area that I am not an expert in, I'll be more than happy to connect you to someone who is. Like, for example, I have a friend that's teaching or that's hosting a webinar this week on student loans for an entire hour, and I've been referring people to that webinar. I've been referring some of my clientele to that webinar because that is her area of expertise. So understand it is okay. I have had ups and downs in my finances. Some things you can predict, some things you can't predict. And every experience that you go through should teach you something new. So you should come out better than when you went in. And it is okay for you to not be where you want to be, but be able to turn that test into a testimony, because now you may not have done everything right financially, but now you can share that information with someone else. And you can make sure that mm-hmm. the next generation after you, you can make sure that your community, you can make sure your coworkers, your friends, your family, they know about the things that you wish you had known about. And so together, everybody achieves more. It should be a team effort. You do not have to walk alone. Especially single people, we feel like we have to do everything alone. We don't have to do everything alone. You should have a team that's going to help you be able to progress forward.
That was excellent, Terry. That was excellent. Well, I got a question that I want you to answer now that I bet you a whole bunch of people will be able to relate to. And based on everything else you've explained, I think you probably have a right approach to it. But you know that a lot of people suffer from a lot of bad habits and disciplines, bad disciplines when it comes to money, bad habits with it, bad disciplines. And I think everything that you just said is absolutely on point and a necessity. But how do you work with people? You know, a habit is a lack of discipline is a crazy thing in your life if you can't get that straightened out. So I know that in those sessions, I don't know if there's a particular area where you deal with that, because you know, a lot of people find themselves in certain places with money because of the way they spend. Because of the way they don't handle their money as well, or because they may not just have learned the disciplines of handling money from, you know, month to month or over periods of time. Do you have something you'd like to express, say, to in regard to developing better habits and disciplines in regard to money?
Yes, I have been there. I have learned through experience. I am definitely an emotional buyer, an emotional spender. I overspend when I am fearful. I overspend, or I'll say I have. I've definitely grown from that. But if I am not careful and I am not intentional and I don't have these conversations with myself and I don't have a great accountability partner reminding me of things, I will overspend to compensate for the things that I don't feel I have. Okay, so I'm going to be really transparent with you all because, again, if you are looking to work with someone in regards to your finances, you have to be transparent. You don't want to keep things surface level because we can't really help you. And so just sharing with you, I have struggled in my lifetime with being a people pleaser. And so I will try to get people, I have been in a position where I wanted people to like me, right? And so I overspend. Like, making money has been a gift, but I will overspend. I'm like, oh, let me go ahead and spend this, or let me buy this so that they, you know, so they like me or they know I'm thinking about them. And it is okay to do those things, but sometimes it can get excessive. It can get really excessive. I've also noticed, too, if I am discouraged or I have, like, a down day, or if I feel that I'm just without, like if I forget to count my blessings and I forget to write down the things that I'm grateful for and I forget to look, you know what I mean? And if I forget to look at all the things that God has brought me through and I get discouraged, I'm going to go buy a bunch of things I do not need. I'm going to go buy some more purses, some more shoes, some more jewelry. I don't need those things. But that is a struggle that I have had to struggle with. I've had to struggle through, and I'm in a much better place because of it. So if you do have bad spending habits, bad money habits, you have to go deeper than, oh, I need to fix this. I need to stop spending money on this, or I need to stop wasting money on this. You have to ask why. What's making me spend and waste this money like this? Am I trying to appeal a certain way to people on social media, and am I trying to keep up with the Joneses? Do I want to be the Joneses? Like, what is it that's causing me to have these money habits? Am I buying a lot of programs, or am I convincing myself that I am investing myself? I am investing in myself by buying a lot of things for myself that I never use. Investing in yourself does cost money, but I'm just being transparent because I hope I'm helping somebody here. When I decided to be a full-time entrepreneur, I bought a lot of stuff. I spent a lot of money on programs and curriculum, and I bought all of these things, and I was convincing myself, hey, I'm investing in myself. I'm investing in myself. But I was truly spending all of this money, and we're talking thousands of dollars, because I was fearful. So I know for me, I had to go deeper into why my money habits were the way that they were, the ones that I didn't like. Like, I can create a budget, and I can be thrifty. And the thing is, like, just to be truly, truly naked with you all, when it comes to buying things for myself, unless it's those accessories I just mentioned, I can be very thrifty, very, very thrifty. But I'll spend money on everybody else, and I'll convince myself that I'm investing in my business because I'm fearful. I'm fearful, and now I've spent all of this money when all I had to do was actually believe in myself, be consistent with the plan that was already mapped out for me, and be able to remember to be grateful. There's a gratitude challenge that I did last year that really, really helped me, because with this gratitude challenge, you wake up every morning and you write down all the things that you're grateful for. And every night before you go to bed, you write down all the things that you're grateful for. Now, there were a few other things in there, like drinking water and doing other things, but those two things made a huge difference in how I see money and how I spend money and how I overcome my fears and how I'm less discouraged. Like, I'm human, so of course I have all types of emotions here and there, but for majority of the time, I'm grateful. How are you? I'm great, and I'm grateful. How are you? I am wonderful. I am fantastic, and I am optimistic because I am literally looking at all the things that I'm grateful for, and at night I'm thinking about all the things that I'm grateful for.
That's really good.
I can really speak about,
you know,
this
I want to share.
I can speak about
well,
this.
Well, I may give you another chance to do that.
Yes, it has helped me, and I want to help other people. Whether you are a six-figure earner, a seven-figure earner, or you make minimum wage, if you want to do better with your spending habits and your money habits, you have to understand why your habits are what they are.
Right.
And that's
right.
What you have
to address.
And I wanted
to make sure. I wanted to make sure we don't miss anybody, Terry. That's what I do. I don't want to, you know, I mentioned earlier, I'm not just talking to people who have a whole lot of money and do a whole bunch of things with it, because that's not everybody. The great majority are in a whole other category and can use what you've talked about. I mean, it's so inspiring, the things that you have already shared. But I was going to share this because this is, these are a couple little simple principles that have helped me with money. One of them is money doesn't have a mind of its own. It's going to do what you tell it to do. And if it tells you to go shopping or whatever else, or you can pay that bill later or whatever, you're going to have to live with that. It doesn't have a mind of its own. And the other thing is, what is the other thing? How did I forget that there quick? Okay, well, it'll come to me. But it's in relationship to that. If you don't spend it, you'll have it. If you don't spend it, you're going to
have
it.
Say that one again.
And that, well, it's a pretty simple concept. If you don't spend it, it's going to still be in the bank. Period. So that those two things are very easy for me to live with. No matter what the financial situation, in little or in much, that those two things work for me, and I'm reminded of them all the time when I think about what I'm getting ready to do. And I've been having some conversations because there, like you just said, and you kind of, there's some investments, quote unquote, that I'd like to make in some things business wise, and so I've been processing all of that because it's a lot. And I thought to myself, okay, do you really need to do that? Am I going to look back and say, why did I have to do that? Because I pretty much knew that. What was I looking for from that particular person or business? And then I go back to my thing. If you don't spend it, you're going to have it. And that always allows me a lot more time to think about it or make the right decision about it. So that's really good. So I'm glad that you spoke to all aspects of people with whatever their income may be. The last thing I want us to tap into before we wrap up is if there are any particular do's and don'ts you can drop on people today. And I know we've said a lot, and I'm telling you, I've loved everything that you've talked about and how you've shared it and how transparent you are and how knowledgeable you are. But are there just a few do's and don'ts that maybe you can drop on some people that might really help them flip the script on how they think about money?
Yes. Do not get discouraged because other people seem to be more financially stable or independent than you. Do not get discouraged by it. Notice I said appear to be. I didn't say that they were. I said appear to be, because sometimes we can think that people are one way by the way that they look, but behind the scenes, they're struggling. So don't get discouraged. Do remember, you are on a journey. Life is a journey. This is your journey. You are your only competition, and you have your own race. So it is okay, okay? Do not be jealous. Do not be envious. Do be content and be grateful. You will be surprised at the opportunities that will open up and the monetary things that you'll have access to and begin to experience once you are grateful and you can be content. Another thing is, do not be closed-minded. Do not be closed-minded. Also, do not be selfish. If you are closed-minded, then it's hard for you to learn and grow. You do need to be open-minded, and you need to give. The more you give, the more is going to be given back to you. So it's okay for you to give knowledge. It's okay for you to be able to give monetarily. But don't be selfish, because the person that you are giving to today may very well be the person that will give to you 5-10 years later. Another thing in terms of money specifically, do not overspend. And I know that seems like very elementary, but do not overspend, because we will justify why we're overspending. We will justify why we're breaking our budget. Just don't do it. Make a habit of you staying committed to your financial goals and the budget that you have set for yourself for 21 days. Okay? And do not be afraid of something new. When I meet with people and I share information with them and they say, oh, I've never heard of this before, do not be afraid to hear something new. Do understand you have the right to do your research and make an informed decision. But what works for you may not work for everybody. You have to understand you have your own financial plan. It's like when you go to the doctor, you have your own medical chart. My medical chart looks nothing like your medical chart, and that is okay.
That's very good, Terry. I want to thank you for everything that you've shared today. It's been really, really fun, exciting, and insightful talking to you. Will you tell people, I did put it on the radio webpage, info, the TNA Financial Group, and telephone number, but would you just share what's going to happen when they reach out to you, give those that website out, and tell people what's going to happen once they do? I think they're going to be able to schedule a call from you.
Absolutely. So you can go to tnafinancialgroup.com and schedule an appointment. There's also a link for my Calendly. It's calendly.com, and you can schedule an appointment there. If you just want a general financial needs analysis for me to take a look at where you are, and see if there's a product or service that I have to offer for you. You can book it there. If you are interested in learning more about college funding, or maybe you have a retirement plan and you're looking to roll it over into something that is safer or gives you better growth, there's a link there for that as well. Or maybe you just want a personal finance consultation, there's a link there as well. If you want to have a conversation over the phone just to see if we could be a good fit, then you can contact me at 682-305-1593. Again, that is 682-305-1593. I encourage you to follow me on social media as well. You can like the TNA Financial Group Facebook page as well as the Instagram page.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you again. This has just been so dynamic, and I just love it when people have so many takeaways, and there were just a ton of them here. So thank you again, and I just wish you so much continued success, and I think I'm going to be in touch with you about a couple
awesome.
Of things.
Let's do it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I certainly will. Trust me, I will. I really get so inspired by so many of you young women. And when I say young, I'm at a later stage in age in life, but you all just infuse me with so much excitement when I talk to you. I talk to many of you who are younger, and the things that you've already grasped and embraced in life and how you already have such a big heart for helping people, I just think it's awesome and amazing. So you keep on doing what you do. And I'll look forward to being back in touch with you again before too long.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for this opportunity to share. I'm glad that you were able to be inspired, and I look forward to speaking again with you soon. Thank you so much.
All right. You have a great afternoon, and thanks for being my special guest. I want to thank all of you, too, for tuning in wherever you are and whenever it is that you're tuning in. You know my shows are available at any time, anywhere, 24/7. You can listen to Foxology shows. So I appreciate you and just encourage you to share these shows, because I'm always bringing you something that's really going to help you in your life up close and personal. So, you know, that's just what I do and how I do it. I want to remind you that I have a couple of books that are available. One of them is Stay in the Ring, and the other one is What is Faith? And you can get them both on Amazon if you are so interested. And I also have an 18-minute audio of Stay in the Ring. It's not the same as the book, but there's some principles that I pulled out and put into an 18-minute audio boost for you if you need 18 minutes of encouragement. I challenge you to go ahead and go to my Facebook page or my website at SilverRayFox.com. It's only 99 cents, people, 99 cents. And I'm giving away books to people who buy that product. And in about 10 days, I'll be announcing who those winners are, because your name will automatically go into an email drawing that will happen at the end of the month, and there will be five of you that will get a copy, a book copy of Stay in the Ring. So I hope you will do that. Also, please do visit SilverRayFox.com. You will see all things Silver Ray Fox there about what I do in life with my life. It's all there. And I just posted recently, yesterday, about a book study effort that I'm going to be doing on Facebook Live once a month. I'm really, really excited. The first one will be May 30th. I know that's a holiday, but you know what? That was the day that dropped in my spirit, and I'm going with that because maybe you'll be sitting down just relaxing after a lot of barbecue and potato salad, and you want something fun to listen to, because I'm going to make it fun. But I'm going to be talking a little bit about faith. In fact, the whole endeavor is let's talk about faith. That particular day, I'll be talking about some of the insights from my book, What is Faith? And also pulling a couple of excerpts from Napoleon Hill's Outwitting the Devil. It's going to be fun. So that's 6:30 on Monday, May 30th. So I hope you'll make a note to tune in and take a listen. If not, you know how that is. It's all the social stuff is still going to be on social media, and you'll be able to check it out whenever you do have the time. Again, I want to let you know, you all, I appreciate you so much. I get quiet feedback, and by that I mean there are people that don't always post it, but they let me know that that they enjoy what I do and they're encouraging me, and I appreciate you. And so know that even if you don't, I'm thinking about you, and these shows are in everything I do. It's all for our betterment. That's the place of love and commitment that I'm coming from with all everything that I do. So with that being said, I'm going to look forward to talking to you again next Wednesday. Got another dynamic woman coming on the show that I know you're going to take a listen to. It's going to be a fun show too. We got some things to talk about life itself, and I know you'll also be encouraged and inspired by that conversation as well. So you have yourself a wonderful day. You be good, you be blessed, and you, of course, be awesome.